Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Cozy Corner podcast. For those of you who are new, it's great to have you. Thank you for being here. My name is Brittany, and on this podcast, we talk about books, TV, music, media, all things cozy. And today, we're going to chat about a book that sheds some timely light on the state of social media and digital culture. It's called Social Media Abyss by Geert Levink, and it's fundamentally concerned with understanding the social in social media today. Okay, so before we get into the book, let's actually discuss Levink's research interests, just so you can better understand what moves him to follow the subject. So Levink is a media theorist, critic, researcher, and professor of network cultures and interactive new media who has authored, I believe, a handful of books exploring digital and social media and the dying art, as he likes to call it, of interactivity. He's known for examining the dynamic and sometimes catastrophic relationship between networks and social movements, and does a really good job of providing readers with the knowledge they need to navigate a 21st century digital society effectively. Social Media Abyss is a collection of essays that introduce theories, arguments, and observations that consider what purpose social media really serves in society today, since it has changed, as you know, so much, and also where it'll be years into the future. Levink's metaphor, if you will, social media abyss, air quotes, essentially describes social media moving from a place where the world connects and engages to being like this black hole of information sharing that's primarily controlled by big businesses. In short, I guess you could say it's a metaphor that symbolizes the end of connectivity on social platforms and the beginning of social capitalism. So reading through the book, we're shown how social media has increasingly moved away from being like a place to socialize and share content. Now our disclosures, they're not necessarily intended to start meaningful conversations with others or forge deep relationships with them anymore. And we're sort of pivoting on social to just broadcasting our every move to the public to convince viewers we're thriving, which spurs comparisons and fuels depression and anxiety and a host of other issues and complications in our lives as we fight to keep up with each other online and, you know, race each other and compete with each other, really. While social media apps are designed, I think fundamentally, just in their name, to be social, they do have different purposes. They're serving, you know, we're communicating in unique ways on each, you know, platform. Instagram is more photograph based. Twitter is more, you know, instantaneous thought based, but they should at their core implore us to be social. However, as evidenced by Levink, they have morphed into places genuine conversations go to die at this point, and where companies like Google and Facebook go to collect. I mean, think about it. How often do we actually talk to each other on social media anymore? Aside from like, yes, girl, or congratulations on a post here and there. We spend hours just like mindlessly scrolling social media every single day. But how many significant conversations would you honestly say, or like relationships, are starting on these platforms anymore? So as I was reading through the book, I actually went on a few of my own socials and ran a, I guess you could call it like a super informal study on how I most often used my own accounts. I found that I most often liked, shared, and created posts and stories that resonated with me. I would say much less often do I comment on anyone's posts or send anyone like direct messages or any of that. And so it was really nice just, I guess, to see the validity of Levink's arguments so like so easily, so simply, by just digging into my own social media use. So kind of moving more into the analysis of the text itself, I think Levink excels at demonstrating how modern digital culture, which was once perceived by the internet as the place to be, to seek validation in our lives, is now a place for businesses with more data-driven and domination pursuits to harvest our information for their gain. I would say of all the research I've kind of accessed on modern social media culture, Levink's analysis is definitely the crudest. While many researchers assess social media's positive or negative future and kind of just give us that baseline assessment, Levink takes things a step further by providing like reasoning for believing social media is headed in an unfortunate direction. He takes almost, I would say, an activist position in that along with his assertions about the state of social media today, he also offers instruction and inspiration for people to protect themselves against the personal agendas of corporations that are leveraging datafication, which is the transformation of social action into quantified data that is tracked and used for predictive analysis. Says Levink on page 1851 of his ebook, Social Media Abyss, we need to develop descendant knowledges on how to bring down drones, detect sensors, hack servers, distort GPS signals, disrupt the Googles by fooling their databases, and calling for the socialization of all data centers. I think of Levink personally as somewhat of a martyr. Hear me out, though he's not facing death, and obviously any consequences for any of his opinions or assertions are much less severe than, you know, the consequences of being a martyr. But he's, in a sense, waging a war against the commodification of information on social media. He calls our defenses in this war the Big Riot, which on page 5655, he describes as a collective revolt against the dominance of social media platforms and their effects on society. It's perhaps more of a spiritual and emotional war than a physical one, but it gestures toward social media users overcoming the modern disillusion of social media's exploitative and manipulative algorithms. In the Big Riot, we vanquish digital disempowerment, challenge the status quo, and fight back against the muddying of social culture. I would say Levink's greatest strength by far in this particular text is his ability to marry his unbiased perspective on social media and internet culture with an exhaustive and balanced analysis. His arguments are well developed and they call upon testimonials and expert opinions from other notable authors and thought leaders in this space. And any good scholar knows that you have to provide a heavily evidence-based argument whenever your personal beliefs are involved, because, you know, you never just want it to seem like your one-sided way of thinking. It has to be, you know, fully developed. And he does that richly, which I think makes his discussion throughout the text much more reliable and also relatable. One critique I would say that I have for the book is that Levink's style of more shrewd and like meditative writing doesn't lend well to the longer writing form. So to kind of explain that, at times it just made the book format a little overwhelming. I haven't really read Levink's other books and articles. I'm familiar with them and, you know, just obviously to get a basis of understanding for his work. But my comparison ability between his other works is a little bit thin. But I do think this book would have been a little bit more digestible, I guess you could say, for a general audience with, you know, like a general knowledge base, had it been broken up into like bite-sized articles or something, you know, that kind of divide, explore, and more effectively focus on each topic and its respective call to action. I mean, in the book, we bounced around from like Bitcoin and Netcore in Uganda to the Money Lab agenda and internet revenue models. We were like all over the place. So, you know, and while each chapter is a clinic that perfectly personifies datafication of social media, clustered together, it kind of feels a little tough to follow. Overall, Levink's Social Media Abyss delivers a refined critique of the current digital landscape and compels readers to more closely consider the peaks and valleys of social media and its impact on their lives. Greatest to me of the takeaways, I would say, is the idea of social media users reclaiming their agency and advocating for a more thoughtful use of social media before the digital landscape becomes completely obsolete. I'd be interested in hearing what others think of this text, since the information on the book was a little bit scarce when I was doing my research. There are many opinions on this subject, of course, and I thoroughly enjoyed hearing a perspective that offered so many considerations in like one place. Alrighty, guys, that's all I have for you on this one. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.